You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it's our weekly look at the top news stories here in Wisconsin with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Right now, though, it's Food Friday. We're going to talk about bringing spicy, sour, and sweet flavors from South India into our kitchens. Our next guest blends the flavors of Brooklyn with her mother's hometown of Bangalore, and all of her recipes are vegetarian-friendly. Chitra Agarwal is a chef and founder of Brooklyn Deli, an award-winning Indian condiments line. Her first cookbook came out this week. It's called Vibrant India, fresh vegetarian recipes from Bangalore to Brooklyn. She joins us now. Chitra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about South Indian cooking. What are some of the key flavors we're working with here?
So South Indian cooking, well, I guess I would compare it to North Indian cooking, which is something that a lot of people are more familiar with because that's what's basically served in restaurants. North Indian is kind of like the naan and curry, and South Indian is more kind of like lentil and rice-based. So I'd say the more popular dishes in South Indian cooking are dosa, which is fermented rice and lentil crepe, a lot of rice dishes, sambar, saru, which is kind of like more of a the soupy lentil dishes. But it's very fresh. There's lots of fresh vegetables, coconut, herbs, curry leaves, and it does pack a punch. It is spicy too.
Yeah, when I think about Indian cooking as a concept, this is a huge country, lots of people, different regional variations, I imagine different cultural variations, a lot of different types of food are under that umbrella of Indian cooking, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my mom is from South India. My dad is from North India. So I grew up eating North and South Indian food. But then there's a whole other gamut of different styles of cooking all over the country.
Now, I love the, I guess, North Indian food that I can get at restaurants here. I got to say, I do find it kind of heavy, a lot of it. Maybe that's the Americanized version of it. I don't know. And that's kind of the point of your cookbook is to not do that, right? This is, first vegetarian, but also not so heavy. It's lighter.
Yeah, and this is also home cooking. So I'd say a lot of the North Indian restaurants are serving heavier types of very filled with butter and cream. For instance, when my dad's cooking at home, he doesn't even use cream or butter, really, in all of the dishes. I mean, it's mostly, it's also light. But I'd say, like, South Indian food has a different characteristic to it in that it does feel lighter and fresher.
And talk about this vegetarian cooking tradition that you're working with from Southern India.
So I'm a lifelong vegetarian. I'd say probably my family have been vegetarians for centuries. In South India, my mom is from the Brahmin caste, which is religiously you don't eat any meat. My father is actually a different caste, and he religiously can eat meat, but just by choice, his family was vegetarian. So that's kind of how the cuisine developed. It's kind of like it has cultural background, basically, as to the recipes. They're based in a vegetarian lifestyle, basically.
And you quote Chef Anthony Bourdain, not a vegetarian by any stretch of the imagination. He said something like, if there's one place on this planet I'll be vegetarian, it's in Southern India.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, it's just a cuisine that has been honed over centuries for nutrition and taste appeal, and these recipes have just been developed over time. So that's what I wanted to share with people.
Chitra Agarwal is with us. Her new cookbook is Vibrant India, sharing recipes from Southern India in particular. And Chitra, let's get into some flavors now. What do we want to have in the spice cabinet in the fridge that's going to give it this unique flavor?
So for when I teach classes, South Indian classes, I try to kind of minimize the number of spices used. And I'd say the main ones for South Indian cooking for these recipes would be black mustard seeds, asafoetida or hing, and that you only use a pinch of. It's a very pungent spice. When fried in oil, it's kind of like onion or garlic. And then the other is dried red chilies and curry leaves. And curry leaves are kind of have like an herby, citrusy taste to them. And I'd say if you have those four ingredients, you can make a lot of the stir fries and the rice dishes in the book, and even also yogurt dishes as well.
And I can, those first three I've seen a lot. Curry leaves, I don't know if I could pick out of a lineup. Are we seeing these become more generally available in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say curry leaves, if they're not in your area, you can order them online. And if you can't find fresh ones, you can buy dried ones.
Okay.
And just use like double the quantity. My husband is actually from Wisconsin, and I taught him how to use these spices to make a few dishes when I had I had left town. And he was like, oh, I really want this one dish that you make. And so I taught him how to temper the spices and oil. So those four spices, and you just kind of, that flavors the oil, and then you can throw in a vegetable or rice. So he actually loves making popcorn, and he used those four spices to flavor the butter for the popcorn that he makes. And that recipe is actually in the book.
And you just mentioned tempering, and that's a key to almost everything you do, at least on the savory side here, it sounds like. Talk us through how we would take these spices and maybe some other ones we might use and temper them in our oil or our butter or ghee.
Okay. Yeah. So tempering basically begins with heating oil on the stove. And when the oil is hot, you can kind of see it like a little bit ripply. That's when you know that it's hot enough to start frying the spices. So usually I start off with a little bit of asafoetida or hing, and then the black mustard seeds. And then I'll put a cover off of it because mustard seeds actually pop in the oil. And so what you do is you wait for a popping sound. It actually sounds a lot like popcorn. And then once those mustard seeds stop popping, then you throw in a dried red chili and the curry leaves. And so in India, tempering of spices and oil happens, in every home. But what is different is maybe the oil is different or the spices are different. But the basic idea is that you're frying a number of spices in quick succession in oil. And that's how a lot of times the dish will start. It could also end with it as well. Some dishes like a dal or a lentil dish, I use a very small pot called a tempering pot. Then I'll fry spices in oil and then pour those spices and the oil onto the finished dish.
And this really changes the flavor of the spices, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, they bloom in the hot oil. They really come to a full flavor.
Let's get into one of your recipes. We've got a few, by the way, shared on the Central Time Facebook page. I want to start with lemon peanut rice. So this one's vegetarian and gluten free for people watching for that, because rice instead of grains. Talk us through this recipe a little bit.
So lemon peanut rice is the name of it is chitrana, which is a rice that is a lot of times prepared for festivals or holiday. And sometimes a sour rice is offered to people at a Hindu temple when they're leaving, kind of as an offering or a thank you for praying. And it's called prasadam. So there's many variations of sour rices. This one is soured with lemon. Sometimes you may find a tamarind rice or one using green mango. And so to make this rice, it's very similar to the process with frying mustard seeds and the hing or asafoetida and the red chilies and curry leaves. And then I also add in two dals, urad dal and chana dal. And these are to add a little bit of texture and kind of like a nutty flavor. So you brown those in the oil as well. And then you throw in cooked rice. And the rice is yellow in color because we cook it with a little bit of turmeric. And and then you fry that up, and then you add peanuts to it, and the peanuts you've fried or roasted before, you can use roasted peanuts, and then add coconut and lemon and cilantro, and it's done.
I was thinking, oh, what side dish would I serve this with? This has got pretty much everything. You could serve this all by itself, right?
Yeah, it's a really good picnic rice, actually. It stays up well, and I feel like this is one of those rices that my family would bring on, like, long car rides. And so it's kind of, yeah, it's like a one, you can eat it by itself. I like pairing it with a yogurt raita, but it's good on its own.
We're talking to Chitra Agarwal. She's with us to talk about Indian cooking, Southern Indian cooking in particular. She's a chef. Her new cookbook is called Vibrant India, Fresh Vegetarian Recipes from Bangalore to Brooklyn. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Are there any vegetarian recipes that you'd like to bring Indian flavor to? Have you tried this kind of food from South India? Is this part of your own family's heritage? Or do you have questions for Chitra about how to make this style of food? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Chitra Agarwal is with us on this edition of Food Friday. Her new cookbook came out this week. It's called Vibrant India, Fresh Vegetarian Recipes from Bangalore to Brooklyn. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post. Find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page. Have you been to Southern India? Do you have any favorite South Indian or vegetarian dishes? Maybe you want some advice on how to make this kind of food. It's a lighter but still fairly spicy, all vegetarian here, cooking from the southern parts of India. Is this part of your family heritage, for that matter? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Jeremy is with us in Oconomowoc. Jeremy, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
I love biryani, and any suggestions, and I'll take any suggestions off the air. Thanks.
Jeremy, thanks. Biryani, I think it's a little further north, Chitra, but do you have any suggestions there?
yeah, I actually don't, I don't make biryani, but I actually had some recently, that was, with jackfruit in it, which was an interesting twist.
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit.
Or jackfruit. What is that? I don't think I've ever had that.
It's kind of like a, I guess some people compare it to durian fruit. It's a very intense, vegetable or fruit, and it's, has a lot of vegetarians or vegans are starting to use it now because has a very meaty texture to it. And so one restaurant in New York that I went to recently had a biryani that was with jackfruit. And usually biryanis are pretty spicy, too. And they're very involved to make as well. There's lots of layers of flavor to them.
Jeremy, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to get to another one of the recipes you shared with us, Chitra. Spicy and sour tomato lentil soup. Now, lentil's a big part of a lot of the dishes here. Talk about this spicy and sour tomato lentil soup.
Oh, yeah. So that is... sometimes it's referred to as saru or rasam, and that is an everyday soup that is served in South Indian homes, usually paired with some rice, and sometimes people drink it on its own. And the spice mixture used for this dish is one that a lot of times is made in homes. You can also buy it in the store. It'll be labeled as rasam powder. Each family kind of has their own recipe for this spice mixture, and it's made throughout South India as well, so you'll see variations all over the country. My family specifically uses tomato and lentils. Some places may just use tamarind in it. The basic flavor is kind of like spicy, sour, a little bit sweet, and it's basically served almost every day in the household.
I understand you've got a secret topping you use sometimes that maybe not be traditional to Bangalore.
Yes, so we would crush potato chips on top.
Well, that's great. I love chips. I love soup with a little bit of crunchy stuff on the top. So that's perfect. I wouldn't have thought of that though. And do you I mean, your recipe book is Bangalore to Brooklyn. Do you jazz up either Southern Indian foods with some other American sorts of things, or vice versa?
Well, I used to have a pop-up restaurant where I would make Indian Mexican food. So that was kind of an interesting.
Yeah, how does that work?
It's actually pretty easy. There's a lot of ingredients that are common to both cuisines. So I remember like tamarind, cilantro, cumin. So there was a lot of overlap there. And that was fun. I did that with a friend who's a Mexican chef. And then I also do an Indian Chinese pop-up with a friend and author, Diana Kwan. So we kind of come up with Indian Chinese variations. So there's definitely, I like to collaborate with chefs coming from different backgrounds. I learn a lot that way, and I feel like it's cool to kind of come up with different variations.
Yeah, I could see actually starting with your basic tempered spices that you use. I could see taking that and adding it to anything that isn't super flavorful to begin. I mean, I could see a mac and cheese jazzed up, for example, your tempered spice combo.
Yes. And I actually have put black mustard seeds in macaroni and cheese because one of the flavorings a lot of times in some recipes is just mustard powder. And black mustard seeds are they're derivative of the yellow and the brown mustard seeds that are used to make mustard, but they're just a little bit more intense.
Talking to Chitra Agarwal, talking about the cooking inspired by South India, though, as we're hearing some variations, combos, fusions, if you will. Still time for your thoughts and questions and experiences at 800-642-1234. Well, Chitra, speaking of new twists on classics, oatmeal cookies, you have a take on that. This is another one, by the way, we have linked on the Central Time Facebook page. These are cardamom oatmeal cookies with dark chocolate and raisins.
Yes. So throughout Bangalore, there's actually a number of bakeries that serve these cardamom cookies. And I'd say in the afternoon, you usually have coffee and some type of snack, usually from a local bakery, a savory or a sweet one. And these cardamom cookies were ones that our family would have during this time. And I just kind of mashed it up with a recipe from my college roommate at Berkeley, who is a really great baker. And I thought, I love her cookies and I love these. Why don't I just come up with a recipe that combines the two? And they're a really big hit. So in the book.
It's kind of a standard oatmeal cookie, but with the cardamom in particular is going to add that twist to it.
Yeah, and I also use jaggery instead of brown sugar. And jaggery is an Indian unprocessed sugar. It has a very, I guess the taste is kind of molassesy and not as sweet as brown sugar, I'd say. So that kind of lends another dimension. And then yellow raisins, which are used in a lot of Indian desserts.
Bangalore sounds like my kind of place because I love going out for a little afternoon snack. Can you talk about just like what it's, you know, are there food carts or stands all over the place or restaurants or you're eating at people's houses? What's the food scene like?
Oh, yeah. I feel like people in Bangalore are eating all the time. If you are just kind of in the marketplace, you'll see there's places that are making dosas or idlis or any type of snack foods, street foods. There's people eating all the time everywhere there. And so it's not just home-cooked foods, but I'd say that the cafe scene and the fast food scene is very popular there, for sure.
And Chitra, a caller named Jim is wanting us, I think he's got pen in hand, he wants us to repeat the four key spices and flavors so he can go hunting for those in the grocery stores. Mind running those past us again?
Oh, yeah. So black mustard seeds.
Okay. Black mustard seeds.
Asafoetida.
Asafoetida. You can kind of gauge the spelling there. It's kind of like it sounds.
And then curry leaves.
Curry leaves.
And dried red chili peppers.
Dried red. That's probably the easiest one to find at any store around here. And then we've hit on some of the other spices, cilantro and then turmeric, something I think of as Indian cooking. That's on your pantry list as well.
Yes, those are definitely important. Even cumin seeds, black pepper, I'd say.
Oh, I love those. Okay.
Yeah. And and a lot of these I've found are definitely available online. You can order them Patel Brothers or Amazon.
And so you've talked some about the different combos and experiments you've tried. Anything in the works now? Any new experiments or things you're looking to try this weekend?
This weekend. I feel like my husband is really into making this plantain hash brown that we've been having with eggs. And that's another one that I feel like would be great, kind of first frying the mustard seeds and the curry leaves, hanging in dried red chili, and then putting the hash in there. So that's definitely one. We have a plantain that I feel like that's going to happen probably.
And you mentioned your husband from Wisconsin. So this Southern Indian cooking, it is tried and true with Wisconsin eaters.
Yes, definitely. He really has taken to the cuisine and also become interested in making a lot of the recipes as well. We actually got married in Wisconsin and had a lot of these dishes at our wedding as well.
Fantastic. Chitra, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Chitra Agarwal. She's a chef and founder of Brooklyn Deli, an award-winning Indian condiments line. Her new cookbook is called Vibrant India, Fresh Vegetarian Recipes from Bangalore to Brooklyn. You can see a few of the recipes she talked about today on the Central Time Facebook page, that rice dish, a lentil soup, spicy and sour, and, of course, the cardamom oatmeal cookies. Again, that's all on the Central Time Facebook page. Share your results while you're there.